Movie. Is it a movie? Film. Or film. Is it a movie? Great movie. Or film. Fascinating. Is it a movie? Great movie. Or film. Fascinating. Is it a movie? Love that movie. Haven't heard of that. Is it a movie? My favorite movie. Or film. I'm a bit of a cinephile.
1 year hence. You're watching movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Every now and then again.
I'm Nate, and you two characters are going to Top Gun.
And I'm Terrell, and he's pissing metal.
Is that Psycho Goreman?
No, that'd have been cool, though.
Sounds like something a kid would say upon observing Psycho Goreman.
No, it's something we just watched.
Is it The Matrix Resurrections?
No.
Is it The Matrix Revolutions?
It is.
We just watched Matrix.
Yeah, we just watched Matrix. Like a lot of Matrix. Is yours from... it's not from Top Gun, is it? You said I would know it. And
yeah,
yet, here
yeah,
I am.
Because it's from Top Gun, because the name of the movie
is
in the quote.
All right.
So I finally watched the movie Top Gun.
I was about to say, because that felt too obvious.
Yeah. It's not that obvious, because this is our Christmas episode, and neither of us did Christmas movies.
Right. That's very true. Very un-Christmas of us.
I didn't have a Christmas quote ready to go, but I recently watched Top Gun for the first time, and I had that quote saved in my phone, because I could not believe that is a quote in the movie. Like, very beginning of the movie Top Gun, a character says to Val Kilmer and, what's his name? Tom Cruise.
Yeah, what's his name? What's that guy? That action star?
Hey, he hasn't been around for a while. I don't know. You two characters are going to Top Gun. Did you know Top Gun was a location and
no.
the setting of the movie Top Gun?
What is it, Top Gun Academy?
It was bad.
Oh.
Though I'm sure it was hard to shoot the airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's impressive.
But it's not good?
No.
It's more hype? Or just more, you just had to be there?
No, people love it.
No, they love it.
There's like the...
There's a sequel coming out.
Yeah, it's like a bit of military fetishization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're in different
like
times now.
Macho, military.
Yeah.
I'm the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a better one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Green Knight.
Yeah, let's talk about the Green Knight, guys.
Before we do that, let's hear the trailer. Are we still doing that? Last episode, it didn't work.
Can you get the trailer?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So let's listen to that.
Let's hear the trailer for The Green Knight.
Friends. Brothers and sisters. Who can regale me and my queen with some myth? For tale.
O greatest of kings, let one of your knights try to land a blow against me. Indulge me in this game.
I will need thee.
Is a 2021 epic medieval fantasy directed, written, edited, and produced by David Lowery, adapted from the 14th century poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
What does that make him, like a quad threat?
He's a threat. Are you threatened?
Yeah, I'm threatened. He's doing a lot. And you know, rightfully so, I guess. It was his vision, and he saw it through, and it came out really good.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the Arthurian tale. I didn't know that this nephew of King Arthur existed.
Me neither. I knew nothing about it.
Chance it was assigned to me in school at some point, and I ignored it. I don't know.
I definitely didn't, like, do any research into it before watching it.
Oh, I watched the Franklin The children's television turtle.
You told me about that.
Special.
I was just like, no. And then Anthony was like, no, that's cool, going blind. And I was like, okay, I'm just going blind. Yeah. Watch it.
I did read a bit about the poem to observe the differences to help further my understanding of the picture.
Right. I think I was trying to avoid the trailer, and then I saw the trailer, and then I was just like, oh, wow, now I have so many more questions. I wonder if the movie's going to help me.
And I just rewatched the trailer. They show almost every scene.
They show just about
everything.
There's a clip
from,
Yeah, and it really doesn't explain much.
No,
it's not an explanation movie. Yeah. It's just what you're watching it, and that's what you get. You can fill it in yourself. I suppose that's what we do with everything.
What is meaning?
What is it? What is the meaning? What is the metaphor?
I don't know. Let's see what we
can
do. What
is it trying to say?
One of the significant differences that I'll begin with from the poem to the picture is that the poem's The Green Knight arrives on New Year's Eve. But this is our Christmas episode because in the picture, the Green Knight arrives on Christmas Day.
Yeah, he made it a Christmas movie. A Christmas picture. A Christmas film.
Yeah. Starts with some whispers.
Yeah.
Whispery intro.
All right, yeah, let's just jump in. So, yeah, that good voice work. Very, like, creepy, very scary. Lets you know that this isn't going to be a fairy tale or a pleasant tale. It's going to be...
There's some fairies.
Wait, was there fairies?
Not in the magic sense, though there was magic.
Yeah, there is magic.
I just meant like there's some gay shit.
There is some gay shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it's not a fairy tale. It's not for kids.
It's not for kids. It's very adult. So pretty much it tells you, like, you may have heard of the story about the king that pulled a sword from stone, but this is not that tale, and it's not a tale about his son. No, it's instead a tale about a bastard. Yeah.
Kind of like Jesus.
Kind of like Jesus, only cuter.
Whoa.
I know. Blasphemy? Come on. You've seen Dev Patel.
But you haven't seen Jesus.
That is true. No one has.
Okay, some bold statements.
No one alive.
So a throne descends... And it lands onto our lead character, Gawain, sexier than Jesus. That guy, and his head is set aflame. So yeah, not for kids.
Pretty cool. It's like the first image we ever saw from it. And that's how it opens up.
Yeah, some heavy symbolism. You know, you want to wear that crown. What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Is your hair going to catch fire?
What's got to happen before
you
wear
the weight
crown?
Yeah. Of it? I don't know. The credits.
Yeah, opening credit sequences.
Are so beautiful. I was amazed at just the, like, just snow falling and, like, the blueness of it and just the glow of that. And then it'll go from, like, the snow falling into, like, barn animals.
Kind of like Jesus.
Yeah, it almost looks almost
like a manger, perhaps.
Nativity. Yeah. And then what we see is, and I was trying to make sense of this. It was just like a man and a woman, and the man lets the woman get on his horse, and then he takes out his sword.
Well, there's that fire.
And there's a fire, and he goes off.
Yeah, they're fleeing the...
They
seem to be under attack.
Right.
A siege or
and
something.
And I was like, what is that? Why are we seeing that? And then what does that say about the character that we see?
Well, it is
chivalry.
Yeah, it is chivalrous of the gentleman in the background to let the the woman right away.
And he's also going into battle. Mm-hmm. Like, he's ready to fight and go into battle.
Meanwhile, our, in quotes, hero.
Protagonist.
Is asleep in the brothel.
In a brothel.
Gets woken up with...
a splash.
Yeah.
Of water from Essel.
Yes, and the first lines, because I keep saying the Jesus parallels, I'll just say it clearly, because it is clear in the picture itself. It's Christ is born, and then he wakes up and says, Christ is born indeed.
Yeah.
And then they fool around a little bit more.
Well, he like chases her around. She's
it's part of the play.
Playing hard to get. Also, she says she's going to church.
She's trying to go to morning mass.
Yeah. After a night in a brothel.
Yeah. And he, yeah, the royalty isn't interested in the religion.
No.
He would rather just stay in the brothel with, Essel.
Mm-hmm.
The first of two characters played by Alicia Vikander.
Yep. Interesting.
I thought it was three until I looked it up and saw it was two.
Right.
Nope,
just two.
You corrected me. I don't know why I lied and said I looked it up. Honesty.
So, but while he's chasing her out, he is, you know, yelling out things like, I have time. Because she's just like, don't you have something important to do today? And he's like, I got time. And
then he says,
I'm not ready. Because he's still child.
Yeah,
he's still
behaving like a young child. In response to someone asking, are you a knight? It was a kid, maybe, asks, are you a knight?
Mm-hmm.
Not a kid. It was someone in the brothel. Yeah. Says, are you a knight yet? And he says... I've got time. Yeah.
I got time. I'm not ready.
Then he mounts a horse and it's something.
Yeah.
It's cinema.
That's cinema. And he offers her a ride too.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a bit silverish, but he like does that thing like, you know what I mean? When you offer someone a ride and then you like speed up a little bit.
No, if he was actually giving her a ride.
Yeah. He offered her a ride, and
he made the gesture.
She got on. She got on the back of it. And then the bell starts to ring, and we get the first of many really cool title cards. And this one just says Sir Gerwin, like in a bunch of different stylized.
Gawain.
Oh, I mean, everyone says it differently in the movie as well. So, no matter how you pronounce it, Gawain, Garwin. I think King Arthur says Garwin.
Yeah?
Yeah, he says Sir Garwin. Sir Garwin. And it's like really cool, Sir Garwin, just like in like these different fonts. As the bell is ringing, it changes. And then he gets home to his mother.
His home being Camelot.
Mm-hmm. His mother's, you know, concerned about his late night whereabouts, but he just kind of
And why he doesn't have any boots.
Right.
He's got no boots, people.
And he pretty much just, like, you know, dismisses her in a very charmingly son way and is able to rest for a little and get ready for this gathering that's happening at King Arthur's castle.
I feel like you're giving him a little too much credit. He's a fuck up.
Yeah.
He's a drunk fuck up.
Yeah, but he's charming.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like in a mother son type of way where it's just like, you know, he's the only boy.
Right.
So like he like gets away with a lot. Right. And so like that's their relationship.
It's like that. Oh, you.
Yeah, kind of. And his mother's really sweet.
For now.
For now. For yes, very much so for now. There's this really good moment of when he's about to go and his mother's not ready and he's just like, you're not going to go. And she's like, no, I'm tired. There's going to be other parties. And she just says, you go and you tell me what you see. And it just like lingers on that a little bit. And then like the chorus starts to come in and then it goes into the shot of the castle as he's entering the castle. And it's just really cool because you're like, you know, this is about to be a tale. This is about to be a journey. And she's just like, you know, she's setting it up. Like, yeah. tell me.
Yeah, those layered choir vocals are really cool and like establish.
Yeah.
Like the epic nature. And I love the shot of the camera that like climbing up the tower almost.
And it also feels really Christmas. The choir
mm-hmm.
is really Christmas.
So, we see the round table.
Mm-hmm. All the knights are there. They're having a good time. It's a party. It's a vibe. Garwin walks in like he's the man until he lays eyes on King Arthur. And, you know, he's just like, oh, man, there's the king. There's my uncle.
He invites him to come next to him.
Yeah.
But he's not so comfortable, doesn't feel it's his place.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, that's true. The person it belongs to is away, and we don't know when he's going to come back.
Lancelot.
And he extends an olive branch, an apology, in fact, to Garwin for kind of not inviting him sooner, for kind of keeping him off at the distance. I guess now that he is older and he is very sickly looking, close to death, he must feel sorry that he didn't prepare Garwin for greatness. Hmm. And still sees him as a child, and he wants to see him grow up. And this is just the beginning of that, of him inviting him to sit next to him.
Yep. And then we get the Christmas game.
Mm-hmm. He asks him to tell him a tale about himself so that he may know thee. And Garwin has nothing to tell yet. He has no story. Yet.
Yeah, Guinevere throws that in.
Yeah.
Nice. Compassionate aunt move.
Yeah. Yet. You have no tell yet.
Meanwhile, his mom, who is... this is another change from the poem, mm-hmm. or history. Were these real people? I don't know.
I don't
understand it. What? There's like magic and stuff. There's, but like Morgan Le Fay is like not canonically Gawain's mother.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, she is. And she's performing this magic ritual because she's a witch. And mm-hmm. she's summoning the Green Knight. And there's this whole just... A lot of emphasis is placed on all the steps and requirements, like the recipe almost, to get the Green Knight to arrive.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's pretty cool because it's happening simultaneously while King Arthur is giving his speech. And it's just like, it almost feels like teamwork. Like what he's saying, she's saying in her spell, in her enchantment.
Hmm.
And it starts to be, it starts to feel like this connection that's happening between them two. And then when she's done, there's a letter. She writes a letter and she puts the letter out. The letter floats and then it burns. And from that fire grows a, not a flower, but just like a green stem.
Hmm.
And then knock, knock, knock.
No, does he knock?
I don't think he knocks. Actually, I think the door enters.
He barges.
I think the door just opens, and he's big as shit. He's fucking gigantic, just like this solid tree trunk.
Yeah.
But he comes in peace. He has like, I suppose, like holding the branch above your head, and that way means I come in peace.
Mm.
There's this weird moment, and I don't know if you know like what it is, but. One of his like right hand men has this moment where he looks at him and it like zooms in on him and it like turns red. It's like he's like sensing something, and then he looks at King Arthur and nods.
I didn't catch that.
It's okay. He was probably. Maybe
they know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that guy is like maybe his sorcerer or something like that. Like
Merlin.
Yeah,
was an old dude.
It was an old guy.
It was probably Merlin then.
Then, yeah.
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 His advisor.
His advisor. And then he nods to him, and then King Arthur is like, okay, you may come.
Hmm. Interesting. So there's I love the emphasis on there's the whole thing with the seal of the letter being created from it was from nature,
mm-hmm.
The clay, and then stamping it. And then there's this beautiful close-up shot of Guinevere opening the letter and the seal mm-hmm. breaking, and you see the dust coming off.
Yeah.
And then she becomes green.
Yeah.
The lighting turns green. And she's effectively possessed.
Yeah.
The dude's right there. but still.
Yeah, he uses her as a vessel to deliver his game.
His invitation.
His invitation, which is, he's going to call upon someone to strike a blow upon him. And in 1 year, whether it's a scratch on the cheek or, you know, a hard blow, he will return what was given to him. And then Arthur opens up the floor and he's like, I would do it, but my body's frail.
He's old.
He's old.
He's washed.
He's washed. And everyone, all his knights are quiet.
Yeah, they don't want to get involved. But this is Gawain's opportunity to show that he's honorable.
Yeah, that to show, to make a story.
Have a tale.
Yeah. And so he says, I'll do it.
Without even thinking about the fact that he has no... he's got no sword.
He's
he woke
no
up
sword.
Without no boots. Now he's going to fight someone going to battle without a sword.
Right.
Luckily,
he gets the sword.
Excalibur.
Yeah. They never name the name of the sword,
right.
And they also never name the name of Arthur as well. Do they? Do they say his name? I feel like they don't say his name.
It's definitely King Arthur.
It's King Arthur, but they do this thing where they don't say the name.
Yeah, they're not spoon-feeding exposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely an artsy endeavor.
Mm-hmm. And he looks at it like he's holding something precious, and it's... You know, has this shine on his face.
Yeah, he knows he's unworthy of it.
Right. And he jumps over the table, and he's gonna fight the Green Knight.
He's about to kill Groot.
And the Green Knight, in a very unpredictable move, I didn't see it coming, opens up. He just puts his arms up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, strike me. And Garwin is like, wait.
He bends down.
He's like, wait, what are you doing? Is this a... joke? Like, I will cut you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts his axe down.
Yep.
And from when he puts it on the ground, there's this cool thing that happens where, like, there's like green coming from it, like moss starts to grow on the ground underneath the axe. And he's like, what do you want me to do? And then he shows him his neck, and he's just like, okay. And then he has this, like, he puts on a show. He's like, okay, everyone here, I want you to remember this day, the day I killed the Green Knight.
And then he wants to make it, wants to underline his actions because he thinks it ends here. And like, I'm going to do it. He's going to let me. This is all I need to do to be a knight.
Right. And this
it's
is
happening
my story.
Right now. Got to make sure everyone remembers it.
Mm-hmm. And he chops him. He chops his head off. And he thinks he did it. He turns around and looks at King Arthur. And the music starts to bubble. It starts to bubble. It comes in real light. And Arthur gives him this look. And the queen has this look. And then you hear like trees moving. And it's like that sound, like that old creaky sound. And it's the Green Knight getting back up. Headless.
Picks it up. Rides away. Like the headless horseman.
Mm-hmm. He says, 1 year hence. Ha, 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 ha.
Remember those like movie posters with like 100 great movie quotes, and it's like the Titanic quote and like No Place Like Home.
Mm-hmm.
They should add 1 year hence.
Yeah.
Like if they make a new one of those, I would nominate 1 year.
Yeah,
hence.
1 year
That's,
hence is really good. It's really good. And
it's
just like the greatest evil laugh since like Vincent Price.
Hmm.
It's a really good one. And he just rides off swinging his head in his hand.
Yeah.
And everyone back at the castle at first is like stunned.
Yeah.
And then they clap for him.
Right.
And then go back to party. And Garwin is just like,
What did I get myself into?
Right. And Arthur asked him, he said, do you know how to play this game? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, he does and not know.
He does not know. I knew at that moment when he got the look from the king and queen, I was like, oh, you kind of went too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have just left it. Nope. But now he has become a bit of a legend.
Mm-hmm.
There are puppet shows being held in his honor.
I was going to say, I like the use of the puppet show to pass time.
Yeah, they have this wheel with the seasons, and it's shown as theater. And this they put on the show and tell the tale while they demonstrate that a year is passing.
Yeah, a year too quick, title pops up.
And how is Gawain spending that year? Just in bed.
Drinking more, getting drunk.
He poses for a portrait at one point.
Yeah.
So
he's like, oh yeah.
He's got that.
I'm a knight. I look like a knight in this picture.
But then he's just super drunk, stumbling in.
Yeah.
Finally, we get a scene with Arthur and Gawain.
This is after, I feel like, a drunken night of fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debauchery.
Yeah.
No honor.
No honor. Yeah, he stumbles in dirty and drunk, and there's Arthur waiting for
him. It's one of those, like, where have you been moments.
Yeah, again.
And when he realizes that, like, his uncle, the king, is in his presence, he, like, tries to clean himself up, but he just is obviously too drunk to be able to maintain that composure.
Yeah.
And Arthur's reminding him, like, what he got himself into and what being a knight is about, which is the five virtues.
Yeah. And also how I'm going to hold you to this, and you need to see this through because I want greatness for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Garwin is just like, okay, all right, I'll do it. But not because I want to. Lots of caressing in this. This is the first caressing. No, actually, it might be the second. His mother might have did it first.
Hmm.
And then Arthur caresses him in this scene as well.
There's this discussion of greatness versus goodness. Actually, goodness isn't even brought into the conversation yet. With Arthur, it's just about greatness.
Mm-hmm.
His nephew asks, why do you hold me in this light? And he says, is it wrong to want greatness for you?
Mm-hmm.
That question goes unanswered. But I think by the end, we can see, yeah, it's fucking wrong. Stop. Hey, uncles everywhere and people in power, stop wanting greatness for your descendants. And goodness is really good.
Goodness is,
in fact, great, which might be a paradox in itself. So watch out. It's tricky.
It's Essel who answers or who wonders why goodness isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mother and... Are those her daughters? Right?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know which part you're talking about.
I was just going to start talking about how the mother and the little girls, the daughters, who they are, they start, like, preparing his attire.
And oh, we got to say more about the Essel scene, though, right? I know you mentioned the Essel said the goodness, but...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or is it intercut?
I feel like it's intercut, because I have mothers prepare first, and then I have ladies wonders.
Okay. So, yeah, they're similar to the preparation of the whatever incantation brought forth the Green Knight on that Christmas day. They're preparing the axe and the girdle for Gawain to go on his journey.
I like this scene because there are so many religious things happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are at least three. There is the witches doing their thing, and then it's the church doing their thing in another language, and then the queen also says a prayer. A very, like, Christ-like prayer. That one I understand. And the like everything about him is being, like, blessed. He's being blessed in every way.
Yeah.
Lady wants goodness.
Well, specifically the girdle that's being made, there's an important detail to it.
Mm-hmm.
No harm will come to Sir Gawain for as long as he wears this green girdle.
Yeah, do not remove it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's told.
It's got magical properties.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's intercut with the conversation with Essel. And she's the only one who sees through everything, being, I guess, being on the fringes of this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Seeming to do all right. She's in love.
Mm-hmm.
Usually got a smile. She's got faith,
mm-hmm,
in Jesus, as we know. And she says, "This is how silly men perish."
Mm-hmm.
And Gawain answers, "And what makes good men great?" But Essel retorts, "Why greatness? Is goodness not enough?"
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's kind of the key to understanding this. Is that greatness is maybe a harmful ideal to strive towards.
Mm-hmm.
And what we think of as greatness, or what they thought of as greatness, can cause a lot of harm,
mm-hmm,
to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That are deemed not great, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's just all be good.
Good is enough.
So he's going to get on a horse and go, even though Essel doesn't want him to.
Mm-hmm. The journey out.
Title, oh yeah, card. She gives him a trinket.
Mm-hmm.
A button.
It's like it's a jingle bell.
Yeah. Oh, to remember her.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the bell they put on her because she's a sex worker, and in the Middle Ages they made sex workers wear bells.
Interesting. Or
like people seen at the bottom, maybe to warn others of like they're approaching.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, interesting period detail, mm-hmm, with the clothes, and not something that's spelled out like the,
mm-hmm,
hierarchy of the throne or the, which characters are what.
Long shot of,
very long shot, yeah,
of Garwin.
Very straight, simple, yeah, path, mm-hmm, out of the kingdom.
Children are chasing behind him. They have a song for him.
They're like playing with swords and, mm-hmm, clearly looking up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just standing on his horse. And we see, they don't see his face because they're behind him.
Yeah.
He's trying to like maintain the good posture for them, but yeah, you see so much of the self-doubt on, yeah, the face.
Yeah. They say good luck to him, and then he kind of turns back to them, but then keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does not stop for them. They are not able to catch up to him.
And then a shepherd comes, and some sheep appear.
Mm-hmm.
Animals are fun.
His first night is so cute. It's like a fun night camping he has. He's eating his prepared food and his bread and meats that his mom packed for him. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. And he has a flashback. Now, this is intercut with the first night, the flashback, and also him meeting the scavenger. In this moment, we get a really good scene and a really good performance from Alicia.
Are you at a kindness?
No.
Oh.
I'm at the flashback with Essel.
Oh, okay.
Essel wants to be his lady.
I want to be your lady.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be your lady.
Like how she says it with the, yeah, accent.
Lady.
And she moves his face and speaks like for him.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because in a lot of ways, Garwin is not ready to step up and be a man. And she is looking for him to be that man. And she's just like, you know, would you have me? And he doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she makes him say the things that she wants to hear. And they are sweet things.
Yeah.
She just wants to be his companion and not, you know, live this life anymore.
Yeah. Then we, from that very sweet, tender moment, we cut immediately to the skeleton hanging in a cage,
mm-hmm,
blowing in the wind. And the path isn't as simple as it was when he departed. It's now a four-way crossroad.
Yeah. Why does he go towards the freaking...
Which, the forest, like, it looks like the bad way.
It looks like the bad way. Yeah. Like, the cloud is skyy, is dark. The sky is dark. It looks like that way is a storm. He goes that way. I was like, okay.
He, it's interesting that it's a right turn. Like, he goes right.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to follow the right path, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Also, the skeleton in a cage, apparently a Easter egg reference to the 1988 fantasy Willow, where Val Kilmer's character is caged.
Hmm.
Very similarly. Apparently Willow was a bit of an inspiration.
Interesting. So it could be like Willow in that cage, or just a reference to it.
More bodies, because he gets into the woods and we see a corpse with arrows.
Yeah. There's
a lot of arrows in there.
It looks like a knight. Yeah. And you can see it on his face. Mm. It's just like, oh, that could be me. Because he's really a big theme in this is death and how he's afraid of dying.
Yep. And of living.
And of living, yeah, pretty much.
And then he merges into this very desolate field, and then we enter.
And kindness.
A kindness.
So it's like a war-torn field, still smoking.
Yeah.
Dead bodies unburied. Mm-hmm. And we meet the scavenger.
Yeah.
Garwin is so naive and so green, that he...
See what you did there.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. He pretty much, he gives the scavenger too much information. He tells him that he's going north and that he's looking for a green chapel. And with that information, you could do what you want to do. You could send him exactly where you want him to go. Which is pretty much what he does. He says, go this way. It's a chapel that way. It's kind of green. Just keep going. And all Garwin can do is give him a thanks.
Well, you mean the verbal thanks.
Yeah, the verbal right, thanks. That's yeah.
A little before the directions are given, the boy's bragging about outliving his brothers and seeing the battle, and he mentions that the king himself killed 960 people, and if he had his shot, he would kill the king.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that he doesn't respect the throne, but also highlights the fact that this King Arthur, this great man who Gawain's striving to be more like, or at least to follow the same virtues, is a murderer. Mm-hmm. A massive murderer.
A mass murderer.
Who knows if he actually killed 960 people. That might just be the tales that get told.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of bodies. That's a lot of people.
That's
a lot of bodies. Yeah. So Gawain just says thanks and rides off.
Mm-hmm.
The scavenger's pissed.
Yeah, he's just
one of the virtues of knighthood is generosity. And this is one of the many, you could say, tests that are failed by Gawain to show that he's not living up to these virtues.
Mm-hmm.
The scavenger says, are my directions not worth anything to you? So then he throws him the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a little magic trick with the coin because that's a thing villains do with money.
Right. They're mythical. And he's just like, yeah, go that way. And then he has a moment to himself where he like kind of takes out this necklace that it could be like souvenirs from other people that he's like taking things from that he's tricked or like robbed or whatever. And he's just like, be sure to stick close to the river. It gets tricky.
Yeah, that's where they ambush him.
Yeah, he's like walking with his horse. He looks up, sees someone standing there, and just goes, hi. Like, that's it. Hi. And by the time they reveal themselves to be an adversary, someone is behind him with a bow and arrow, and now he can't do anything. He's taken over. From there...
He's like begging for his life, and they mimic him and make fun of him, saying, please,
please, please, please, please.
And he does the magic trick again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, close-up magic is a thing villains do. It's villainy right there. And they steal all of his things, his axe, his horse, his girdle.
Yeah, they cut it off.
They tie him up, and before they cover his mouth, he gets to ask, is there even a green temple? And the answer is, you're in it.
You're in it.
Then we get a lot of time to think about that because the camera, we get this sequence where the camera's going to take a long time just being taking in the atmosphere, doing this thing where it spins 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, like, yeah, 360.
Yeah, the whole
but
circle.
But then it goes back.
Yeah.
Also, so, like, I guess 0 degrees once you end, because whatever.
Yeah. So
it starts spinning around.
The scavenger also takes the axe and mm-hmm. says that he will finish the journey for him.
Yep.
Leaves him tied. The camera does this that really cool 360 really slow. Yep. This movie takes its time.
Yep.
And when it shows Gerwin again, he's dead. And he hasn't moved from that spot.
Yeah, we see the skeleton.
It's like he just gave up at the first sign of conflict.
Hmm.
Which would seem on brand for him. But then the camera goes back, turns back around, and it's like he snaps out of it.
Yeah.
And he starts to move, and he starts to fight for his life. And he is able to free himself.
Yeah, I love the sound design here with, like, not only just the sounds of the forest as it's, like, when it starts spinning, it's, like, so lively in the leaves and the maybe birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps spinning, and you see the skeleton. It's so gray and desolate, and the sound is more eerie, and it's more atmospheric even.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clock ticking comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that it adds urgency to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like makes you consider, like, this is what could have happened, or this is what happened in one of his lives, or I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
I like the preview of that.
Yeah. The way he's going to get out of this is by
doing
he's
it
got
himself.
His sword still, and he's gonna untie the ropes behind his back by rubbing up against the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it.
Yep. He wanders into the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the cue card. A meet with Saint Winifred.
Mm.
And he sees a house.
Yeah, he does a Goldilocks. Mm-hmm. Where he's in the woods and goes in a house.
Yeah. Only this food is rotten. It's moldy and hard and turns into dust.
Hmm.
He goes upstairs, sees an empty bed, and decides to go to sleep.
Why not? This must be for me.
Right? I need a good night rest.
Yeah, but in the middle of the night, he's woken up by a ghost.
Or a woman. A woman ghost.
A ghost of a woman.
Yeah.
Named Winifred.
Winifred. She's just like, "What are you doing in my bed?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know this place belonged to anyone. I'll go." And then she's like, "Maybe you can help me before you leave."
Yeah, I love that all the interactions he has is like a test and another side quest he's got to go on.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's going to present this this quest to him.
It feels very RPG.
Hmm.
Very Fable. You ever play Fable?
Is that like, oh, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that like RuneScape? But no, it's more like Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. Thing, right? Like, yeah.
Video games.
Mm-hmm.
She wants her head back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it looks like she's got a head, but that's not her head.
Yeah.
She wants her physical head.
Mm-hmm. And he's apprehensive, but he agrees.
He says, "What can I get in exchange?"
Oh, no, that's the second thing. The first thing he does is he tries to touch her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, "What are you doing?
Hmm.
A knight should know better." Like,
yeah.
Yeah, don't
touch. Guess what? He's not a knight.
He's not a knight yet.
Everyone just assumes he's a knight.
Yeah.
Because he's on this quest, but he has not yet proven himself. Mm-hmm. And he continues, in fact, to show why he's not a knight.
Yeah.
While the movie also shows why the values held by knighthood don't necessarily lead to great ends.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting dynamic there. The sequence where he's going into the water to get the head is pretty cool. I haven't seen water tinted red like that before.
Mm-hmm. Is this another death? Because he passes out under the water, and I'm not exactly sure why he passes out under the water, but he passes out, and then it turns red, and then he wakes up, and then he finds the skull.
So there's, in all of his interactions, he could have died.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we kind of see these scenarios, and then get to continue to play out the quest.
Mm-hmm.
But he, yeah.
Yeah.
But then we see him come back up.
Yeah.
With that skull, trying to get something for it.
Yeah, that part always cracks me up.
I love the delivery. Why would you say that? Why would you ever say that?
Like, yeah, make him feel dumb for asking that question. You do it because you're a knight and you're a good person.
And, you know? And like, you were sleeping in her bed?
Yeah.
How about that? The shelter you just had?
Exactly. He gets her head. It turns into her actual head. He sees her body, her headless body, now laying on the bed. He drops her head because he's shocked to see that it's actually like her human head in his hand. And when he drops it, she says, I forget the quote exactly. She goes, ah, I see now. The Green Knight is someone you know. And that part always tripped me up a little, because I was like, I think I know who the Green Knight is, but like, who is it? It's someone he knows.
I think it's his mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad we thought it was the same person.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go into a whole thing.
Nope. It's mommy.
She's pulling the strings.
Yeah, she wants her son to be a big boy.
I think she might be the fox, too. We'll get to the fox, though.
Yeah.
His axe is returned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's
magically.
It's very gamey. Suddenly. Yeah. It is very just like
you complete, respawn.
You complete this task, and now it's waiting there for you. Yeah.
And this is the first chapter end transition into a new chapter, I think, where we like completely cut to black, and then the chapter's an interlude that kind of puts a bit of a pause on whatever momentum was happening. I'm not saying that in a critical way. It's structurally an interlude, but that's the point. I think it's interesting. And this is the fox, actually. We were right there.
I think the fox has appeared twice, just in the distance.
Like, oh, yeah?
It's getting closer and closer.
That's cute.
Yeah. And now he's in a cave, and he can't start a fire.
Yeah, there's this really cool shot of the landscape. They shot on location in Ireland. It's beautiful. And it's like the base of a mountain is so foggy. And then he gets in the cave, and you see like from the inside of the cave, the light. And the shot's like framed really well by the cave itself. And then that fox enters.
Yeah. And at first he throws a rock at it.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, all right, you can come in if you want.
Then they become friends.
And they travel together for a bit.
There's this really cool silhouette. Like, show for us to see them traveling together. They show this cool shot of their silhouettes walking along, walking cliffside on this mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like, probably the hour before the sun goes down, the golden hour, because the light is just it's hidden everything in the right way.
Yeah.
But he slips. And he falls. Takes quite a tumble. The fox too.
Yeah.
They both do. But they find mushrooms.
Yeah. This man is starving.
Yes.
He eats these mushrooms and begins to trip.
Yeah.
Has a nightmare, pretty much. He sees the Green Knight standing there.
Just a bit of a reminder of what he set out to do, what he's got to do before he can return home. He's got to face that.
On this interlude, on this journey, and on this trip, we get giants?
Oh, are you suggesting that the giants aren't real?
That is crazy. The giants are
no, I think there's so much magic, you gotta just take the giants.
You just gotta take the giants as giants, because
I want them to be real.
I remember seeing it in the trailer and be like, okay, so like, huh? And also like,
it's gonna explain it to me.
Yeah, but I want it.
There's a Green Knight. There's the Green Knight who's like a tree dude.
I know. Everything else sits well with me. And like, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I'm just like, the giants, I'm just like,
why?
Where did that come from? I don't know why.
It's giants.
It's just giants.
Yeah.
And giant, just like, mainly giant women.
I don't know what the giant men are up to.
Yeah. this giant women. One of them has a baby on their hip.
I like that there's a baby. It really humanizes the giants.
I thought it was going to be like Attack on Titans type thing, because I was watching that around the time.
So what happens in that?
Attack on Titans is just like, there are these giant humans that are like monsters, and they're like, they attack and they want to eat you.
They could be monsters, but they're more noble than that.
Yeah. Garwin asks for a ride on the shoulder of the giant.
He wants to be literally standing on the shoulders of giants, which he is doing.
Yeah, I guess.
But then he wants like... It's a shortcut.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll go faster. I'll get where I'm going if I can just be on your coattails.
Right. And it goes to reach for him, but then the fox growls and howls.
And Gawain flinches, too.
Yeah. Because, like, this thing can grab you and, like, not know its own strength and just crush you.
It seemed like almost it was going to take him up on it. Yeah. But because he was scared, because they had that moment, the giants kind of realized, okay, why am I getting involved with this shit?
Also,
fox howls, and then the giants start, like, singing.
Yeah, also, if the fox is the mother, then the mother's like, no shortcuts, son.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we get the, I don't know if I called the other shot a 360 shot. What is this shot? Because it goes, instead of around in a circle, we're going upside down.
Oh, right. Yeah, it like, yeah.
Yeah. It's very unsettling.
Very unsettling. Very trippy. Very still like, oh, he still is like affected by these mushrooms.
He can't catch a break. No. He's just everything he's encountered, he has not handled in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doesn't seem closer to where he's going than when he started.
He has no idea whether he's doing the right thing or not.
So, like, normally this kind of tale, you would, in these travel moments, you would get, like, the music would give you the cue, and maybe a couple lines or character moments would show you, okay, we're making progress here.
Mm-hmm.
It would show, like, the character more in their element, knowing what to do. They have a handle on their environment.
They're getting better at this.
But this is just, the camera can't even stay on the subject. It needs to spin and turn on its head because everything's in disarray.
Yeah. He's actually getting worse.
And it also mirrors the cyclical nature of the seasons and the wheel. I'm thinking back to the puppet show. That's like a wheel that turns, and it's the wheel of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can view it as you know, because we're all going. We can all see ourselves in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything's destined to continue. Mm-hmm. We're always going to try to take the easy way out.
True.
We're not all going to do what's right, which is, we'll get to what that is.
Right. So now it's pouring. It's raining. He is soaked. He has this really beautiful yellow, like, cloak thing, but I'm sure it weighs, like, 30 pounds at this point, and he finds another house, just his luck.
A castle.
And he pretty much just barges in, and then
that's his move.
Yeah, faints. He just passes out from exhaustion. He's tired.
Luckily, when he wakes up, he's welcomed.
He's such a beautiful sleeper.
Mm.
And you get this really beautiful, like, bird's eye view of him.
The
like
blue sheets.
Yeah, the blue satin sheets. And he's just, like, so comfy.
Like, it's like a king.
Yeah.
He's enjoying, in the duration of his stay at this castle, he's enjoying all of these very nice things. He's going to eat all their food. He's going to enjoy admiring their library.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even going to have to hunt for himself.
Yeah.
He's going to get all these luxuries that he really has not earned at all.
So this is where we meet Lady.
Yeah, Lady and Lord.
Lady and Lord. I think they both have a thing for him.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely the Lord. The Lord is like...
Well, the lady's seducing him. For sure.
But the Lord is playing it very coy. He's pretty mm-hmm. much just like, if you sleep with my wife, then you gotta sleep with me.
The agreement that they make is anything you get from this house, you return to me.
Yeah.
And of course, because this is Gawain's move, he agrees to things before knowing what the consequences of his actions or what he's agreeing to.
Yeah.
We'll get him into, which I can relate to with all those terms of service and all that bullshit that I just blindly consent to.
Yeah, because you're just like...
Like we all do.
You're just like, yeah, like, what can I get from this house? Like, what am I returning to you? You don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this woman there, this old lady... That's blindfolded.
Yeah.
Similar to how his mother looked when she was doing the spells earlier. But she's just there. She's just quiet. She doesn't say anything.
So, ladies, who, by the way, is also played by Alicia Vikander, which mm-hmm. kind of says, I've really thought, I'm surprised. I mean... Yeah, Winifred wasn't her. I was going to just, like, have this whole thing ready about how it says that he sees all women as the same person. He doesn't see them for individuals, but Winifred was played by someone else. Though she has the same exact figure,
mm-hmm.
seemingly, as Alicia Vikander,
mm-hmm.
possibly.
Possibly.
Enough, though I don't know, I love Alicia Vikander, and I always don't realize that it's her in things that I'm watching. So who knows? She kills both roles, though.
Yeah.
Oh. She wants to get a portrait of him, but it's not a painting that he's used to.
It's a photograph.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And it develops.
Yeah, that kind of technology, like, at that time, it's, like, shown as a super mystical invention machine, almost. Mm-hmm. And he's upside down.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
Yeah. She's testing him. He has this necklace on with the jingle bell from Essel, and she takes it from him.
Yeah.
And he's unable to defend why he has it. She asks, is this for love? And he's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, he's unable to, you know, stand honestly with Essel, and he loses it.
No honor.
No honor, still. So he gets the photograph from Lady, and then Lord brings his gift, and it's just a whole dead animal.
Yeah, I'm going to feed you.
Yeah, I'm going to feed you. And he's just like, wait, I thought you said the chapel was only like a day's journey. He's like, oh, no, it's for your journey back.
Hmm.
I'm thinking way ahead here.
Then they're chilling by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And having some casual conversation about his quest, naturally the question comes up, why is this knight green? I can't say. I haven't thought of it, that question. So it's answered with this great monologue.
Great.
From Lady. About how green is the color of life.
Mm-hmm.
And rot.
And
you have more notes on that monologue?
Just how you can't run from it. And Garwin doesn't understand. He thinks the Green Knight's green because he's not from this world. And she's just like, no, green is of this world.
Yeah, green is life.
Green is life, and it's also death. And, like, no matter what you do, no matter what you build over it, it will creep back in, and it will take everything. It will take your virtue. It would take your life. It is the beginning and the end.
And
like,
the
you
end.
Will feed the
cycles,
earth.
Cycles, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great speech for him to hear because he's so afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
And this speech is about how we are pretty much how we are born and we die. And you can't escape that.
And it continues.
And it continues.
And continues off of what happened when we were alive.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of the growth on top of the death.
Mm-hmm.
Legacies.
Yeah.
Got a question that the Lord's asking. So why are you even going to do this? Why are you going for this? And Gawain says honor. And
honor?
He says, is that a question that you're asking me?
No.
Because if a knight was on a quest for honor and he really felt that, he would say, I'm doing this for honor.
Yeah. He's not sure why he's doing
got no
this.
Conviction.
Yeah, he's really not sure. He just feels like honor is the right thing to say. Hmm. And so he goes with honor. But it's really not for honor. And he still has to figure it out.
Yeah. So the next morning, Gawain's going to get another present in the form of something he already owned.
Yeah.
She lady gives him the girdle, saying, "I made this for you."
Yeah.
But instead of that being like, "What the fuck are you talking about? That's mine." She uses it as like, "Oh yeah, do you want it? What are you gonna give me for it?"
Yeah, and he's just like, "I want it, I want it, I want it," and he's trying to take it from her. Mm-hmm. But I suppose she's also jerking him off.
Yeah, because then we get the the semen on the girdle.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's like coming in on the girdle and on his hand. And she just goes, like, "You're no knight."
All the religious stuff that you mentioned that was happening when in the scene where we were showing the girdle being created, mm-hmm. just all the holiness and that's put into that, just reduced to him dropping his seed, just cheating on, helping this woman cheat on her lord.
Yeah.
He's got someone back home. Yeah, I'm just going to. Ejaculate. That's what I think of this.
Yeah.
Or that's what how little I think of this, mm-hmm. rather, because this man does not stop and think about a game plan for anything.
After she leaves the room, he's like dazed after his nut, and then he looks over and the blinded lady is in the corner of the room.
Yep.
It's creepy.
Yep. And he runs.
Yeah.
Even though they had this arrangement to stay here, you'll just leave on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, you'll get there in time.
Mm-hmm.
No, he goes early.
Yeah.
But he runs into the Lord
mm-hmm.
in the forest.
Who stops him and says, "Hey, I think you owe me something. And I think I can take it from you right now."
Mm.
And he goes in for a kiss.
I remember thinking... definitely that's the girdle. He needs that for his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to need to wear that before he goes to play to finish the game with the Green Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's, "Hey, you fucked my wife."
Yeah. It's, "Hey, you fucked my wife.
Puck her up.
Fuck me."
Yeah.
But a kiss is all he gets. And Garwin does kiss him back. He definitely kisses him back.
But he does not give the girdle back.
No. He grabs his hand and goes... "Unhand me, and let's part ways."
Yeah.
Doesn't give in too much to it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Lord's got the fox.
Yeah.
In the bag.
In the bag says, "Here, you might want this."
Yeah, I was gonna, serve this, but I guess you'll need it.
Yeah.
And he releases it, mm-hmm. and then we get to this next sequence, which is just gorgeous. This golden light in this forest, just the most. Warm, magical,
serene so far. Beauty. And we get the title card. A beheading at the Green Chapel.
Is happening, folks.
It's happening. We're here. We're at the end of our journey.
They get to a stream with a boat. Maybe that's the boat to the Green Chapel, but the fox warns Gawain not to continue.
Yeah.
Because
like,
death awaits.
Death, like, you will be shown no mercy if you cross this way. You should... tuck your tail between your legs and go back and be proud that, you survived. And also, your secret will be safe with me.
Yeah. But he says, nope.
Mm-hmm. He says, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. He shoos him away and cruises the water for a bit and enters the chapel.
Where the knight is just waiting. Hibernating, perhaps.
Hibernating. Pretty much sleep, just sitting on his throne.
Because he's like a tree... And the Green Chapel is, like, made of trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like him and his throne that he sits on are, like, just features of this chapel
mm-hmm.
rather than inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
But Gawain gets there and clearly doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And he just waits.
Yeah, he drops the axe at his feet and just sits there and looks at him.
Yeah, and we get this beautiful shot from the daytime, and then it cuts to the nighttime.
And
the next day,
I suppose it's getting closer to the day of, so
kind of just shows like, hey, maybe you could have chilled at the castle a little longer. You did have time.
He's very prepared. The Green Knight eyes open.
Yes.
But he's not awake. It's kind of like sleeping with your eyes open type of thing. Mm. And you just see his eyes gleaming, glistening in the moonlight. And then the morning comes. And he gets up and starts creaking like old wood.
He says, are you ready? Then I should get to hacking.
Yeah.
And then Gawain says, wait, is that all there is? Just all of a sudden getting super existential.
Yeah.
Like now he's thinking about it.
Yeah, now he's
I think it's
just
funny
like,
that like he got all this way.
He thought that he would get there and it would be a fake out. And that all he had to do was get there and return the axe and that he wouldn't be fine. But then when he figures out that this is all it is and that he's about to get his head chopped off, he freaks out.
Yeah, and we get like a 20-minute, I don't know what to call it, dream sequence, alternate ending, vision, perhaps, that he has.
Yeah.
Because the knight takes a swing, but Gawain runs away.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I can't do this, I'm sorry. And
something that jumped out, actually, I'll bring this up at the end.
Okay. Like a video game, like the axe just appearing, his horse is there waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. And they have this moment of like, we're back together.
It's
pretty cute.
And he rides back home and he looks tired as fuck. And his head is low. And the first person he sees is his mother. And his mother and his sisters wash him, bathe him. And then he goes and makes love to Essel.
Yeah, and she, they conceive.
Yeah, they have a child.
She has a very painful medieval Middle Ages birth.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, what does she get? Her baby taken from her.
Yeah.
You think you're going to be queen?
No. Garwin has become king. Arthur gives him the crown after completing his journey and probably telling them this great, you know, tale, mm-hmm. this great lie that gets him the crown.
Yeah. As this great, all great dynasties, you know, built on crimes and lies and deceit.
But he has no honor, and he's no longer he's not even the Garwin that we knew of him.
Nope.
He takes her baby.
They take her baby, he marries.
He throws gold
at her. A noble
instead.
Yep. We get this pale redhead girl that's like, seems to be like the virgin queen.
Yeah,
that,
very
that
virgin.
You get, and they just hand her the baby. Who grows up because, you know, time, we're seeing this huge, a whole lifetime play out.
Yeah.
The child grows up and dies in a battle.
In a battle, in a war. Probably way more honorable than his father ever was. We see the place that he's ruling is unhappy and also starting to crack. And when he returns from his son's death, shit is thrown on him.
Yeah, we see Essel as an older woman
looking at him, and then
looks like the gold she got didn't last that long.
Yeah. Because she's still a sex worker.
Yeah, everyone hates him.
Yeah, he's a bad king. He's not a good king. He's terrible.
Well, he's great.
He's great. That's the problem. He's great.
He sits on his throne. You see the photo that was taken of him back at the castle, but now
it's green.
It's rusted and green and decayed.
Mm-hmm.
And this montage, I mean, I've talked about the score before, but this is where the strings like layer and pile, and the voices, the choir coming in, and the percussion, and it all just builds up in crescendos. And then you get some whips, I think, in there.
Interesting.
And this is like as the castle's under siege, everything's like
really gone
to shit.
Yeah. And one by one, his mother, sisters, and wife and child leave. And he's left there alone in this decaying castle with a mob that's about to enter. However, the mob can't enter, they don't enter, but I think they can enter because no harm can come to him. Well, he's lived a life where he can't be touched,
mm-hmm.
because he kept the belt, the garter on him the whole time.
Yep. Until now.
And it's like he's staring death in the face when really he's been dead the whole time. And he takes off the belt, but it almost looks like he's taking out his organ. Like he's reaching inside of himself and pulling it out. And it's painful for him.
Yeah, as soon as it comes off, his head falls.
And it's like, yeah, you're...
tumbles.
You think you were alive, but you really weren't. Like, this thing was hanging on you, and your head was chopped off the whole time.
Mm.
The whole time.
Fate, perhaps.
Fate. And then it goes back. And he's still there. He's still at the Green Chapel. And the Green Knight's about to take another swing. And he's like, wait, hold on. And he takes off the belt. I get filled with so much joy at this moment. I just start smiling so hard because he takes it off.
He does one honorable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. Like, God damn it. We've been waiting for goodness. For him to, like, get there himself. And he does it. And he takes it off and he says, I'm ready. And then the Green Knight leans down and caresses him.
He does the thing with the finger running against your throat.
Yeah.
And then he says the last line. Now off with your head.
Yeah. He says, he actually calls him a knight. He says...
calls him brave, yeah.
Yeah, good night. Wait, good job, my knight. Now off with your head. And he says it with a smile.
In the film... ends right there and cuts to this nice title card shot of the title Green Knight etched in the tree trunk, and it's green
with this like bell. There's something about the sound of this bell that just gives me so much positivity that it feels good. Like it feels like even though he might get his head chopped off, I feel good about it, or that he's not gonna get his head chopped off, and that's good too.
He made the right decision.
Like, he made the right decision.
He took his ego and he took his ego out of it, in a way.
Yeah.
His head, like, he's not big-headed anymore.
Anymore.
He took his head off.
Yeah.
Which probably wasn't Mom's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably what he saw in the vision was what Mom's plan was, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But no, he does something.
He does it.
Makes a choice. What stuck out to me this time, just because I just watched it, for some reason I'm doing the Christmas movies again this month, and not really a Christmas movie, but a Christ movie. I watched Scorsese's Last Temptation of the Christ, which has pretty similar ending mechanism to this, where Jesus sees a life play out.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't die for man's sins, can become an old man. What does that happen? And the devil gives him this chance. But ultimately, after seeing that vision, he makes a decision. I'm going to get on the cross. This is happening.
Yeah.
Just another parallel between Green Knight and Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's totally a Christmas movie.
Yeah. I feel like each time I watch this, I got closer to tears. And because there's just something so positive about the ending. I almost cry from happiness. I'm just like, oh, wow, that was beautiful. Because it's such a slow story. And we just see him be this fuck up.
Yeah.
And like the moment that he's not a fuck up, it's really good. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, wow, clap. I'm proud of you, Garwin.
And it wasn't what anyone else wanted for him.
Yeah.
It's what he needed to do.
It's what he needed to do for himself. Fuck honor.
So this is an unexpected one to have a post-credit sequence, but it does.
Yeah. Surprise for us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't see it until we watched the Blu-ray.
Your daughter grabs the crown.
Yeah.
The one that put his head on fire in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
But kind of showing that this will just keep continuing. Mm-hmm. It's the daughter from the vision of the future.
No, it's not.
No?
No, it's a different little girl. It's a different little girl.
But isn't it from the vision once his head comes off? He takes off the belt.
Mm-mm.
And then she takes the crown from there?
I thought it was, but it wasn't.
Oh.
Because I watched it again. And his daughter in that vision is a little bit more brown.
Hmm.
And the girl at the end is white.
It's not the redhead.
No. It's a different little girl.
Oh, the girl. Huh.
And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And then I started thinking, like, well, is that his actual kid that he... Because, like, in the vision, he has a kid with Essel, and it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a daughter first?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is The Green Knight a movie or a film?
It's a film.
It's a film. I almost said it so many times.
I think throughout this whole thing, I called it a movie.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah, I called it a movie the whole time.
It is by definition
a movie. By definition, it is both a movie and a film.
Is it good or is it great?
It's good.
I agree that it's a film. Goodness, is just all the poetry and the open-endedness, the ambiguity, the atmosphere.
The sound, the visual, yeah. the stylizations of just like the way he uses the title cards. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And just great casting choice.
Great. You know,
like, got to start and end there.
I've been saying put Dev in more stuff, and, you know, finally it's happening.
Yeah.
Put him in even more stuff.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Keep doing it. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
We are at Movie Film Pod on Twitter and Instagram and other social media sites. Linktree/Movie Film Pod for all of those links.
Yeah.
You listen this far, so you probably know how to keep listening, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
And Merry Christmas.
Yes. Happy holidays from us at Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
Matrix has a post-credit sequence, too, by the way.
It does? Ooh.